It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 293, entitled AI Music. It's a waste, but not a waste. It was recorded on Monday, the 15th of April, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined this week by my co-host Michelle Frechette, but also by Marcus Burnett and Pete Chineri. It's a WordPress podcast, so guess what? We spend the most time talking about WordPress. We talk about the fact that WordPress 6.5.1 was the release that never was. What happened to that, and why did we have an upgrade to WordPress 6.5.2? PHP 7.0 and 7.1 are being dropped, so you might need to make sure that your client websites are not using those. The Page Builder Summit is back. We are looking for sponsors, but also we're looking to get people on the waitlist so that we can tell you what's going on and when it's going on. WCEU, WordCamp Europe, has announced its schedule, so we talk about that. Also, I guess you could describe it as a bit of an SEO mess. Woo.com, WooCommerce.com. We're back to WooCommerce.com, but why and how is it affecting people? Gravity Forms have got an SMTP solution. HEIC images, how can you use them? They're what your iPhone produces, but how can you put them on the web? And then we get lost in a minefield, AI music, and it is the most compelling, most horrifying thing you've ever heard. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Weglot. Weglot, the easiest way to translate your WordPress website. The Weglot translation plugin gives you a reliable and easy way to make your WordPress website multilingual in minutes. No coding required and no developer time needed. Find out more at weglot.com. I have no words for what just happened. That's where my entire week went. I discovered this app, which we're going to play around with later, and I literally sunk about 20 hours into making cheesy songs with a text prompt. It literally ticks every box of what makes me happy. Anyway, apropos of nothing, that was, it's WP Builds This Week in WordPress, show number 293. I'm joined by three fabulous people. Let's go to Michelle Frechette first, who, as I am now getting more accurate with, is the co-host of the show, because she's on so frequently. And she helps me an awful lot. I've got to say, in the background, she helps me an awful lot with all sorts of things, like booking on guests and just making sure that it ticks over. So appreciate your participation.
My pleasure.
And I know you're not feeling very well, particularly, so appreciate you making the effort to come on today. Thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
Oh, and you've updated your bio. Woo-hoo.
I have.
So I'm not going to read it out incorrectly, hopefully. Here we go. Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stellar WP at Liquid Web. They've got an event coming up. We'll find out more about that later. In addition to her work at Stellar WP, Michelle is the podcast barista at WPCoffeeTalk.com, co-founder of underrepresentedintech.com, creator of WPSpeakers.com, also the creator of WPCareerPages.com, executive director, let's get it right, at CodeStatus.com, co-host of WP Motivate, which is a podcast, and also co-host of the Audacity Marketing Podcast, and the host of WP Constellations podcast. She's also an author, frequent organizer at WP events, and she lives outside Rochester, New York, where they frequently get eclipses, although they also get lots of cloud, apparently, yeah. Which renders the whole experience kind of, oh.
I tried not to cry. I didn't cry, but.
Yeah.
Oh, the sky got dark.
Let's get to that in a second, yeah. She's an avid nature photographer, so that kind of makes up for it. And you can learn more about her at meetmichelle.online. Before we get to Peter and Marcus, like, how disappointing was that on a scale?
Oh, my gosh. It was so ridiculous. I mean, I bought the glasses, the lens for the camera, with the cover. Not expensive, but still, I'm out there and I'm like, maybe if I blow really hard, like the wind.
It's like a once in a lifetime experience actually passed over your apartment.
It did. It did. Except that it was so thick with clouds. I mean, I posted pictures on Twitter, but it was so thick with clouds that literally it just got dark and then it got light again. Like no. Nothing to see.
There was a story in the press here about this family from the UK. I don't know. They had loads of kids, like five kids or something. They flew them all out at great expense and it was cloudy. Blew them all back again.
Yeah. They actually made t-shirts afterwards that said something about the eclipse in Rochester, New York. I didn't see the S word.
Oh, well, that is disappointing, but thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. Let's move on. We've got Peacher joining us. How are you doing, Peacher?
I'm okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Peacher, I'm all right.
You've got a new camera.
No, I don't. But it looks like it. I could brag and say that I do.
Yeah, there's something
just
that
worked
like,
out.
The quality
is like. I just worked out that the Mac has this feature. I can choose portrait.
Okay.
F-stop.
Okay.
So that's why.
Oh, well, it looks really nice because you've got that kind of like.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost looks real. Yeah. Mm. It does a good job of it.
Well, thank you for joining us. Peacher, she's got a much shorter bio. It says, Peacher Neri is a UX and accessible design lead, consultant and speaker. She's got something that she wants to tell you about. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. Where I'm living, it's going between like super bright like this to like glum as anything. So it's going to go between light and shade, but never mind. But thank you for joining us. And finally, Marcus Burnett joins us. And I must say, thank you to Marcus for stepping in because one of our guests had to pull out due to other commitments and Marcus stepped into the breach. So I'm really appreciative of that. How are you doing?
Good. Happy to join everyone here.
Yeah, thank you.
On camera instead of just in the chat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, regular chat. Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. And there's a bunch of people who are commenting as well. We'll get to you. But Marcus is a community marketer at GoDaddy, connecting the global brand with the WordPress community at online and in-person events. Marcus is also the creator of the WP World. We'll have a look at that as well today, which is a WordPress community resource. He's spoken at WordPress events and can be heard regularly as one of the co-hosts on the Do the Woo podcast. Occasionally, he'll flex his design and development muscle on some freelance work or a new WordPress plugin. He's one of the photo directory team reps and loves a good hike with his camera in tow. I'm getting into that. I'm getting into taking camera out on hikes and it's blooming excellent. I love it. He lives in Central Florida with his wife and two daughters who are starting to get too old for his liking. The daughters, I take it. We wouldn't.
Yes, the daughters.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to anybody who's joining us in the comments. I think this will be the last week that we manage to push this into the Facebook group because Facebook are hobbling the API. So that will be the last time that happens. But I might as well say it one more time because you never know. It might actually count for something to somebody. If you are joining us live or you want to tell somebody about it, the best place, honestly, is just to go here, wpbuilds.com/live. If you're there, you can use the YouTube comments, which are on the right-hand side of the player if you're on a desktop, underneath on mobile. And then in the video itself, buried in the top right-hand corner, is a summation of all the chat. So if you come in from a variety of different platforms, you can see what the other people are commenting. We've had a little problem with the chat from time to time. Some comments don't get through. And if that's the case, I apologize, but I'll try my best to look at them on all the different platforms. If you are joining us from Facebook, I apologize, Michelle. You need to give us permission to know who you are. And you do that by going to wave.video/lives/Facebook and click the little button. But yeah, there we go. One more time, wpbuilds.com/live. And let's see if we've got any chat. Oh, we do. We've got Courtney Robertson joining us. She's taking Peter Ingersoll's fire and running with it. getting in with the weather report straight away. Hello from 18 degrees pavilion. What does that mean? What's it? Pavilion? Is that a place? I'm guessing maybe.
From her pavilion. She says,
my pavilion. Missed that. Thank you. The birds in the trees around me have a lot to say. Nice. Elliot Sowersby joining us from just down the road here. It's probably going light and dark where you are, Elliot, as well. just saying hi. Now I need a vid of... No. That was the tune at the beginning. She wants me to sing it. Good morning, says Peter from Connecticut. It's 12 degrees centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit, sunny, partly. We're expecting warmer temperatures today. Up to 24. Oh, I long for 24. Let's hope. It's fun to watch WP builds. Yes. Yes, I know. That wasn't auto-captioned, by the way. I had to make it slightly ruder than it was. I thought it was better that way. Let's have a look. Birgit, who was on the show last week, she's in Germany. It's 11 degrees centigrade. Very, very nice picture. No idea who she is, but there she is. And there's Zubair saying hello to us all. And Amber Hines joining us with a hand wave. Hi, Amber. And there's a variety of other comments as well. If I've missed any, apologies.
Cameron Jones says good evening from Australia.
Oh, yeah, that's just popped in as well. There we go. Actually, they sync at different times from different platforms. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if sometimes they go above what I'm currently looking at, if you know what I mean.
I only see YouTube comments. I don't see Facebook in there anymore either.
So okay. Yeah, I see a variety of them. And then we've got Birgit, the other Birgit. We got the war at the Battle of the Birgits. That sounds great. That should be a thing. Somebody should set up.
Nathan's definitely going to do a song with that one.
Battle of the Birgits. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's get on with the WordPressy stuff for this week. There's a fair amount to say. It probably won't be the longest show that we've ever had, unless, of course, we get into the plumbing the depths of AI-generated music at the end. But here we go. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy keeping in touch with all the bits and pieces that we do, just sling your email address into there, and we'll send you two emails a week. Once when we produce this show, we put it out as a podcast tomorrow morning. And also once when we produce the podcast on a Thursday. We are very grateful to both GoDaddy Pro, in particular, because they've been with us for absolutely ages. So thank you to GoDaddy Pro, for whom Marcus works. Well, GoDaddy. And also to Weglot for helping keep the lights on over at WP Builds. Their support is highly appreciated. I don't know if you run podcasts, Michelle, for example, but like this whole sponsorship thing is such a big deal. And I know it sounds a bit cheesy, me saying I really appreciate it, but honestly, I really appreciate it. It does genuinely keep the lights on. It enables people like me and Michelle to do stuff that we do. So there we go. All right. So that's what we got. Also, if you're interested in knowing what's coming up in the future for WP Builds, if you head to our schedule page, it's at the very cryptic wpbuilds.com/schedule URL. That's hard to remember. The only thing that's out of bounds normal is this. I've got an Activity Pub plugin walkthrough with Matthias Pfeffele from Automattic. He's the guy that originated the Activity Pub plugin and then got taken on by Automattic. So put that in your diary. It's on the 24th of April. Come and ask your questions about how it works and how you can connect your WordPress site to the Fediverse. Okie doke. Right. Let's get on with it. Very quickly, WordPress 5.2 has been released. It's a security release. So it's recommended that you update it. There's two bug fixes in core and 12 bug fixes for the block editor. But eagle-eyed people amongst you will have noticed that there was no WordPress 6.5.1, which is kind of weird because normally it goes, 6.5.1, 5.2, 5.3, up until 6.6, and then we start all over again. But 6.5.1, it just kind of went missing. And where did it go? Well, it turns out there was a bit of a bug. There was supposed to be a 6.5.1, but then there was a problem that was discovered. But it turns out that the tags that the sort of system, if you like, that is used to create the updates, that tag is immutable. So 6.5.1 was already being consumed, if you know what I mean. So it couldn't be used again. So little snafu there. Apparently they're going to figure out how to make that not happen again. But if you didn't find 6.5.1, you're in good hands. It wasn't supposed to be there. But anything to add to that, you three? Just probably not. I just wanted to mention update your WordPress sites because it was a security fix. If there's nothing, I'll move on.
Yeah, I think this is like a flag for those that hold off on the major releases, right? This is a lot of folks wait until there's at least one minor release that comes out before they start to update, especially folks with lots of, you know, with agencies with lots of sites and stuff. They want to make sure 6.5 has gotten, you know, bug tested and fixes happen. So this is that. Now it's time to go update your sites.
Yeah, absolutely. It dropped on, nearly a week ago. It just didn't quite coincide with this podcast episode, but definitely go and get your sites updated. Okay. If we've got nobody else commenting on that, we'll move to this. If you're an agency owner or a freelancer, you'll understand this, but it's all about PHP versions and the fact that your software, for WordPress at least, largely, historically, relied massively on PHP, much less so than it used to. But nevertheless, you've probably got a server somewhere and it's running a version of PHP. You may not know about it, but go and hunt around in your control panel, and in there somewhere will be a setting, hopefully, to update it to a more modern version. WordPress has been historically really good at keeping backwards compatibility with all sorts of things, and PHP is no different, but it's time to sunset PHP 7.0 and 7.1. They are getting a bit long in the tooth, shall we say. That's going to happen when WordPress 6.6 drops, which is going to be July 2024. So you have been warned, basically. Why you're not on 8, I don't know. Hopefully you are by now. But so essentially, go and get your sites updated. It does look like across the board, I'm just showing the things on the screen here. It looks like PHP 7.0 only has 1.5% of the market share of PHP, and 7.1 has 0.95. So roughly 2.5% of websites will be using something like this. So they're likely to suffer problems. So go and sort it out. But if you cannot update, it does say that sites that are running 7.0, 7.1 will remain on the 6.5 branch of WordPress, which will continue to receive security updates as it does currently. So hopefully that won't cause your site to be insecure. Although you never know, things might start to break. Anything on that, you three?
I like the word unsecure better, because insecure just makes it sound like it has all kinds of mental health issues.
Is unsecure a word? That's interesting. That when I hear that seems to, you know, when you hear a word and you think that's nearly right but not quite right. I get that when I hear unsecure. I just sort of think, interesting. Look that one up. Insecure. Anyway, it's not secure. Let's go with that.
It's just my own little brain working here on Monday morning. So.
Okay, in that case, we will move on. This is a bit of self-promotion. I do apologize, but why not? I do this show fairly often. I get to drop a few things in. We have the Page Builder Summit 7.0 is coming back around. You can see on the page that it's going to be dropping in May the 20th to the 24th. We've got about 35 speakers lined up. It might go a bit north of that. It might trend towards about 36, 37, depending on how things pan out. But if you would like to be a part of that, head to pagebuildersummit.com and just click this little button, and that will enable you to join our waitlist. And that just means that we'll keep you in, you know, keep you updated whenever we have information about what's coming and the schedule and things like that. If you're keen to be part of the event from a sponsorship point of view, in other words, if you've got a company or something, there's a little link down here where you can find out more about sponsoring the event. We're keeping the sponsorship open for a few more weeks. So if that's your bag and you want to get yourself into that as a sponsor, then go for that. It's a great event. It's fun. And it's really looking like the agenda is looking really good. So hopefully, if you're into WordPress page building or just generally building sites with WordPress, put that date in your diary and come along. It's all online, of course. Okay, I'm going to say, does anybody have anything to say about that? But I doubt you do.
Do you have the lineup down below from there?
No, I have the lineup in an Airtable.
I thought I saw some of the folks somewhere. It's a good lineup. No.
We have.
I'm really curious about the lineup.
Yeah,
how many talks a day, Nathan?
Well,
it's like 5 days in this.
Yeah, so we've done it as 5 days, and then sometimes we've done it as 4 days, and we've made the days a bit longer so that the Friday is a bit more of a social thing. It's looking like it'll be seven or eight things every day, over 5 days, possibly, depending on how we decide to break it out. But there's absolutely loads of people. There's a lot. Yeah. Say again.
Massive.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of work.
So how are you? I'm just really curious because I did a one online conference and it nearly broke me. I did it by myself more or less, but I'm still recovering.
The thing is, I'm broken.
Ancient is in Ancient LaRue, who's your wonderful co-host, partner, whatever. She's in New Zealand now.
Yeah. So
it's not ideal.
I'm really not giving Anshin her due, to be honest. And I'm just being a bit stupid and self-deprecating. Anshin takes on the burden of organizing an awful lot of the events. So she does a lot of the organizing and the wrangling of the speakers. I do a lot more to do with the editing of the video and organizing the sponsors and that kind of thing. So the speaker and the schedule for the speakers, we always decide it together, but Anshin has done a lot of the work connecting with all the different speakers. But it's a really nice event. We have a nice Facebook group, which we bring back to life each time. And there's a lot of comments in there. We do silly things like bingo and we do networking events and stuff like that. And it's just fun, just meeting people. Last year, there were several people who showed up to say that they took the week off. They literally booked annual leave. There was about three or four of them. And wow, that's pretty amazing. So I was, pretty pleased about that. That's kind of fun. Anyway, pagebuildersummit.com. But the schedule will be released fairly soon. But there's a load of old favorites in there and some new names as well, which is kind of nice. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Alrighty. In which case, we will move on to this. The admin bar is, that's the menu. Mm. The admin bar is a Facebook group, but it's also a website. You can go to theadminbar.com. And I was in touch with Kyle Van Dusen this week on, I can't remember where, some kind of messaging platform. And he mentioned that the survey, which they've done, I think for the last 3 years, polling people in the WordPress space, but agency space more generally about building websites. And they survey people just to see if there's any trends over time and something interesting which pops up. And so this year, it looks like close to 1,150. It's 1,144 surveys were completed. And Kyle then kind of makes sense of it. He does actually say that if you go to the website, and it's, by the way, it's theadminbar.com/2024, the numbers, and then /survey. He does actually say that if you click on the link here, which you can see on the screen, you can get to like the Airtable and then you can filter it yourself by your own criteria because Airtable's really good at, you can put in all sorts of filters and things. But I've highlighted a few things which I thought were of interest and let's see if it promotes any discussion. So here we go, 1,200 roughly freelancers and agency owners. The average amount of experience was 11 years. Yeah, little whippersnappers. but 72% of the people who were surveyed charged less than $5,000 on average for a website. Now, I don't know if that's, honestly, it's been such a long time since I was doing all of this. Is that a shocking statistic? Does that strike you as like, that's not enough? How can you make a living out of that? I've no idea, especially with like modern AI tools and things like that. What do we think? What do we reckon?
I think the average is something that what's the website look like? Is it a 3-page brochure site or is it an in-depth,
That's right. That's absolutely true. But then when you read the data below, 68% of businesses surveyed had a gross revenue of less than $100,000. That goes with that. So it really depends on which country they were located in, which would be really interesting. But one thing that I want to say, if I may, is that I just want to say how what an amazing job Kyle does, because he started the WordPress group, the Facebook group, a few years ago when I started another one. And I just sort of, the way he's grown it and made it something unbelievably useful is incredible. All the stuff that he does with the website, he did the accessibility, weekly accessibility with Amber Hines. It's just amazing what he does. And I find this survey, I was going through it today thinking, this is so interesting. And the amount of time that it must have taken Kyle to also go through all the data, do you know what I mean? And it's really such a good snapshot of the community at large. I mean, it really, I don't know who, obviously who participated, but I just wanted to say, I think I don't know how he has any time to actually run an agency. That's what I wonder. And he does that very successfully. And his websites are brilliant. You know, the design is brilliant. So sorry, just a little.
No. That's fine.
Moment or spotlight.
I guess Michelle's point about, you know, the size of the website, if it was a very small brochure website, then maybe $5,000 seems like quite an attractive price point for you as an agency owner, because it might not take all that long. But yeah, you're quite right. Looking at the one below, it looks like most businesses, 68% of the people surveyed at least, had an income less than $100,000. So let's say that roughly speaking, $5,000 is roughly what you're charging, and you're earning $100,000 a year or less. Would it be fair to draw the conclusion that you're kind of doing about 20 websites a year? So that's like one every couple of weeks in order to stay solvent with a little bit of holiday sprinkled in around here and there. So, okay, that's interesting. Mm. Okay, the next one, well, less than 10% of the people surveyed made more than $100,000 a year. So I don't know how the question was phrased. Maybe it was like less than 100,000, but we've learned that nearly 70% earned less, 10% earned more. So I don't know what the cost of living is like where you are, but $100,000 with a family and all of that, it's not like the typical person is like ragingly wealthy out of this business.
Amber makes a really good point. Yeah. Sorry, thank Michelle.
You. No, it's okay.
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay, I've just seen it. Sorry. I've got things overlapping on my screen, and I'm going to move the comments a little bit quickly. One second, then I'll be able to see what's going on more. There we go. So Amber says, I think bigger agencies are not participating in the community and thus didn't take the survey. It was largely freelancers. Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess Kyle's group maybe attracts a certain demographic, you know, who want to share that kind of information. Maybe the bigger agencies are a bit more closed off because they've got all of that expertise in-house and things like that. But yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you for mentioning that. She also says, and I can't put it on the screen. Oh, yes, I can. It's just come through. There are plenty of big companies, right, VIP agencies, etc., but those companies rarely engage in Facebook groups. There are a few in post status. It's interesting. Okay. All right. Okay. So back onto the screen, less than 10% earn $100,000 a year or more. 32%. So this is a new statistic. 32% of freelancers or agencies make the majority of their income from recurring revenue. So fully a third are making the majority. So 51% or more from recurring revenue. So I'm guessing that's things like care plans or selling some other service like hosting or what have you. Again, that's kind of interesting. I guess if you can get into, this is like the golden egg laying, what is it? The golden goose laying the egg or something. Mm-hmm. If you can get yourself into this position, that's quite nice, isn't it? Because you've got a reliable, repeatable income, which is coming in every single month.
Can you toggle that open? Can we see what that says?
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. I was hoping it would say what those revenue sources were, but they are.
Yeah, no, it doesn't give us the source, but it just gives us the revenue details, and you can see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kyle is amalgamated, you know, to 32%. But that's kind of interesting as well. Okay, let me put that down. Anybody want to comment on that, or shall I move on? I've got loads to say about this.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going. The average hourly rate surveyed was $94 an hour. Which is $2 lower than last year. And again, I don't know in the US what an average wage would be, or whether that represents a good income stream or a, you know, fairly tight income stream. I'm not sure. But there it is. Nearly. So this is the one statistic which I thought would be of interest to the discussion today, especially given that, you know, Peacher, who's actually literally just dropped off the call. Hopefully she'll come back. But also Amber Hines in the comments. There she is. That was hysterical. Peachy, that was so funny. I was talking about you and you just disappeared. But this statistic, here we go. Nearly 1/10, so 10% of freelancers and agencies don't consider accessibility at all, is in italics. So I guess Carl's trying to emphasize that when building a website. Let's see what we get there. So the data is don't consider accessibility. That was 9.4%. Strive for best practices. Well, maybe that's an interesting statistic as well, because I feel like that's 81%. Maybe that's more interesting. I don't know. And try to adhere to the WCAG guidelines, just 10%. So, okay. It's kind of interesting because now that I see that 81.3% striving for best practice, that kind of makes me feel a bit more sanguine about that. So I'm going to open that one up, especially maybe Peacher or Amber in the comments if they want to come.
That's a pretty nice bell curve. I mean, honestly, that's like statistically the best bell curve ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly the same on both sides.
It spikes really high in the middle, right? So.
Yeah. I wonder what this means, though, because this all comes around this word best practices. And I don't really know what that means apart from following the WCAG guidelines, really. But yeah.
I
don't know.
I think it's good to see that strive for best practices is up. I'm assuming that's what the arrows there mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would have expected those to mostly come from don't consider accessibility moving up to strive for best practices. But it also looks like adhere to WCAG also dropped, so they moved down to strive for best practices. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Are fewer people are actually adhering and have decided that striving for best practices is maybe the best they feel they can do.
I predict, I'm going to put my flag in the sand. I predict that this number will, this don't consider accessibility will be dropping fairly precipitously in Europe, at least anyway, over the next 12 months, because I followed a tweet from Amber actually last week in which she, and Michelle, you were on the call, so you know, in which she raised something that had come out of Ireland, I guess the EU, we could say more generally, but it happened to come from Ireland, where you could spend up to 18 months in jail if you put a website out which was not striving for accessibility. Now, we didn't get into the weeds of that, how big your company had to be, how poor it had to be, what have you. But it was just the fact that there was some kind of legislation. There was something given over to that. It kind of makes me feel that this is going to become a real hot topic in the way that, you know, SEO has done over the last 15 years or something like that. Amber, thank you. She's just put a little...
One of the things to remember, I was going to say, is this is definitely skewed, like Amber's saying. But also, we don't know... If this isn't true time series data, did the exact same 1,100 people respond this year than last year? So, you know, what's the impetus for responding 1 year over the next? It's not truly scientific. It's just a survey.
Interesting as well, because Amber's saying that she obviously did some work with Kyle. Peacher mentioned it a moment ago. So the admin bar, that group, maybe there is more of a focus there on accessibility. And so it sounds like Amber's less sanguine about that data. Maybe Amber, you're thinking more that, you know, it's a higher number, 20, 30% of people don't consider accessibility, maybe more. But in that particular group, there's kind of like, I don't know, there's an ethic there about doing that kind of thing or something like that. So she thinks it's skewed high. She also says that she doesn't see the same level of interest about accessibility in the other groups outside the admin bar. And Rob Cairns, oh, hi, Rob. Nice to have you with us. He says lawsuits will change people who are looking at accessibility. And then, yeah, there's legislation that's going to change this. So, okay, there we go. I'm enjoying this survey. Should we keep going? I've got a few more, I think, down here. There was a few bits and pieces that were all about particular page builders, and I had the intuition that so it was things like 50% of the people that responded and building websites with blocks use generate blocks, and I know that Kyle is big into generate blocks, so I did wonder if that sort of skewed that. But also I know that bricks is the sort of hot thing at the moment, and a lot of people are talking about that page builder, so I'll just mention them. Bricks was the only page builder which increased the numbers amongst that lot, 32% in total. And like I said, 50% of the people who responded to say that they're building websites with blocks were using Generate Blocks. But again, I don't know if that's skewed. I've got to go down and collapse an accordion. Otherwise, my highlighting is all out of sync. There's a little plugin for Chrome, but it obviously works out where it is on the page, not actually what the text is. Okay, so I thought this was interesting as well. And this was always the case for me. Referrals remain the most popular way of agencies to source leads, with 70% of respondents listing it as the number one lead source. It was 100% of my work. Well, I mean, it wasn't, but no matter how many Google ads or Facebook ads I tried to run, no matter how many clever campaigns I tried to launch on the internet, it was basically my mate John, who you built a website for, told me that you do websites. You know, it was that kind of thing. So keeping your customers happy definitely leads to this. Anybody want to comment on that one? Okay. All righty. And this is kind of interesting because it speaks to what I was saying earlier. I started a blog and things like that, as you know, everybody says, launch a blog, drive traffic to your website. It never worked for me. And it would appear that people have kind of twigged onto that maybe as a thing. Less than 20% of agencies are creating content on a weekly basis, and just 28% of agencies. Oh, sorry. So there's that one. So maybe a lot of people have also figured out that writing a blog maybe doesn't get you. I don't know. I feel that unless your blog gets picked up by some other source and gets promoted elsewhere, it's kind of shouting into the void a little bit. He said, using WordPress for all these years, which began as a blogging platform. And then 20% of agencies without a niche exceed revenue of $100,000, while 41% with a niche exceed the six-figure mark. So I think basically what Carl's saying there is if you've got a niche and it's a successful niche, you're making your life a little bit easier, you know, whether it's, I don't know, you're going after lawyers or dentists or whatever it might be. That seems to be, on the whole, quite a successful strategy. So I think that was it. No. Here's one more. 54% of people say that they do not have plans to hire in 2024. So that's kind of seems like quite a bleak statistic, but there you are. All right. So enough from the admin bar. Thank you, Kyle. Anybody want to drop anything just before we move on about that one? I might close my blind because I look at me again. I mean,
you're glowing.
Yeah, check it out. I'm like, I've gone into heaven or something. That's ridiculous.
Very bright.
Yeah, it is very bright. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
The one thing I would just say about surveys in general, whether it's the WordPress annual survey or this survey, is remember that people who are motivated to respond will have a certain incentive, right? So whether I want my opinion to be heard, I don't care about my opinion, the size of my organization, whether I think it fits me or not. So there's a lot that goes into it. So don't ever take any survey data as gospel truth.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. And, you know, it says at the top, doesn't it? 1,144 people. So, yeah. But interesting, you know, like Peacher says, kind of fun that Kyle's put that together. And thank you to Kyle
Absolutely.
For that. Okay, so there's a few comments that dropped in. Who's responsible for the jail term if a site is built by collaboration? Oh, interesting. Yeah, if you collaborate on a project, maybe you all go to jail. I don't know. no idea.
Amber responded to that too, though.
Oh, did she? Okay. Yeah. Right, here we go. No, wrong one. It bumped up quickly. There you go. Likely the C-suite, and that means nothing to me. What's C-suite?
The CEO, the CTO, like the chief something chief. Or other that's called the C-suite.
Peacher, I'm very sorry. We've completely blocked out your face with our comments. I do apologize about that. Actually, if I take that away, you'll be back. There you go.
It's all right. No great loss.
Okay. Likely the C-suite, so the CEOs, and thank you, I've learned the term. It will only come to that if they are determined, inaccessible, and are mandated to remediate by a certain date and don't. So likely it'll be the decision maker, not the developer. Ooh, okay, that's interesting. Or it could be a dev or agency owner if they commit fraud by saying a website is accessible to the client, but it isn't. There we go. So Elliot, hopefully you've got your answer to that. And Peter says, if you're new and have a smaller base, it's much easier to see a large percentage increase like growth. Oh, Okay, so Growth, in the case of Brix, it's a fairly new plugin. It doesn't have an incumbent, you know, 6 million websites like Elementor does or whatever it is. So, you know, doubling might be a case of something easy to manage, whereas doubling Elementor's numbers would be nigh on impossible, I would imagine, at this point. And Elliot says the owner of the site isn't necessarily responsible for accessibility, but if they didn't build it, though, surely. I don't know. I am no lawyer, Elliot. So caveat emptor. Call up Amber. I bet she's got the right answer. There we go.
Well, they're not personally responsible, but they're personally responsible for making sure it's accessible, which means they need to make sure that the dev is contracted to build an accessible site.
Can you imagine that going through the courts as well, though, especially on a sort of more local level where the judge, I would imagine there'd be a fairly high bar of knowledge to be able to prove that something was or was not accessible. So it'd be interesting to see if those court cases do start to arise, how the lawyers can get over, well, no, hang on a minute, there isn't something declared inside that piece of HTML that would make that particular bit accessible. You can imagine the judge kind of, oh, okay, right. So we will see.
Yeah, the whole thing is very interesting. Also with European legislation coming soon, I think it's, scary, I think, a little bit.
Okay. Good morning, says James. Hi, James. Nice to have you with us. And it is very confusing, Elliot. You're quite right. We're all confused, but we're not lawyers. So I feel like we got off the hook. Okay. Right. Let's move over to talk about WordCamp Europe. It's happening. It's not that long away now. What have we got?
A couple of months.
And the contributor day, I don't know why I said, because it's on the screen. The schedule has been released. It's not just about the contributor day. If you are going to be in attendance, then this is your port of call. It's, I'll put the link in the show notes for tomorrow. But here we are. We've got three tracks. We've got a main stage, one called Sala Rosa and one called Sala Azura. What does Sala mean? Does that mean room or something? Does anybody? Yeah.
It means like, room. I mean, big room.
Big room.
Is big room.
Okay. And you can basically go here and see what's going on. It looks like the keynote is being dropped right at the very beginning, day one, which is, let's just get this right, which is the 14th of June. And it's going to be Joost de Valk and Juliet Reinders Fol. Juliet Reinders Folder was on a tavern episode and making sure that it was possible to have tooling in the WordPress space, which made it possible for devs to, get their code. I'm trying to summon up the right word and I can't get it. What is it that she does? It's gone out of my head. It's not PHP utils. Anyway, she is doing that and she has been doing it for years and years and years. Gratis for no money, and I think maybe the she's reached the end of the road with that a little bit, so hopefully this talk will delve into that a little bit. But there's loads and loads of other stuff here. You can see three tracks begin, then it sort of goes back down to two and then three again. There's a load going on, and I wondered if any of you guys had a chance to look through and found some stuff that you were interested in. Is there enough variety in there for you? You're happy with what you're seeing?
It seems a little more balanced than last year, but I haven't dived in very deeply, to be honest with you.
When you say balanced, do you mean in terms of the sort of topics? And
I was thinking more along the lines of the speakers. So there seems to be some more women and people of color. So I haven't done any. It's just a cursory glance.
A quick glance. Yeah. I mean, they've definitely... run up against those kind of arguments in the past, haven't they, in terms of the distribution and the diversity and things like that. So I guess
it looks much better this year for sure.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, depending on what you're into, you can go and start putting things into your calendar. I found it really interesting looking at this.
Really technical this year.
Oh, good. Good.
I haven't delved in too much either, but I had a glance today before coming on and I thought, wow, a lot of practical, technical stuff. I might be wrong. What does everyone else feel?
Let's have a look, shall we? Let's go through what we got. So we got the keynote about sustainable open source is the future. I'm guessing that's not, well, it says it's a community one. So we've got one community. Then we've got WordPress Playground. That's technical development. Then next to it, Interactivity API. That's development. So we're skewing already. Themes and development. Boy, you're not wrong, Peacher. Okay, then another development learning followed by a community event all about learning pathways with Benjamin Evans. Then we're on to design development, SEO, accessibility. That's a long one. Oh, no, it's not. The other ones are just more lightning talk, I think. Then we've got development, SEO, development. Oh, you're not wrong, Peacher. Development.
Linux, Gutenberg, speed build. I'm really looking forward to the European Accessibility Act explained. Also, because I have
If you click on them individually, you can obviously go into a little bit more information about each of these particular events. But you're right. Just looking at that first day, I think it's definitely heavily skewed to the more technical. I wonder if that's based upon feedback that they have. For me, I have a very curious relationship with this page and every page like it, because what I do is I go around looking for interviews that I can have. And so I want to come out of this with, let's say, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 interviews for the tavern, something like that. So I'm going around trying to find things which I think, not having seen the presentation, which I think the audience of that podcast will enjoy listening to them speaking about. And then I contact them and hopefully they say yes and we sit down and we do an interview. But I've got such a weird skew on that. And sometimes the development stuff is quite hard. Like, it would be quite hard in an audio podcast to dig into, I don't know, let's say the interactivity API. That might be quite a challenging thing to do without some sort of video element. So, yeah, but you never know. So that's my take on it. Anybody else before we move on?
No, Birgit shared in the chat that there were over 500 submissions. So that's
a lot to
sift through to narrow it down to what's on the page here.
Good grief. That is a lot, isn't it? So 500, and I don't know what's there, but I mean, there's got to be like orders of magnitude less than that. What, like 30 or something over the days? I don't know, something like that. But wow, that's a lot. Good grief. That is a lot of work for them to do. Thank you for telling us that. And it looks like we got a few people going as well. Looks like Amber's going to be going. First WordCamp EU, she says. Looking forward to it. 7 talks on SEO, 2 on Woo, says Andrew. Eagle eye. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Okay, anyway, if you go in, now you know what you're going to be looking at. And then, of course, there's the hallway track, which runs, and all of the after parties and things. I don't know if the after parties have been located yet. Community, often they put these like other kind of events. Actually, yeah, if you keep your eye on one of these menus, I can't remember which one, they will list out the sort of like the non-official events. They start to get dropped in there and you can book your seats, book your tickets and what have you. Okay, so Woo is dead. Long live WooCommerce, as it were. Last week, curious story, Woo, which I don't know how long it's been the domain of choice, but let's say about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, something like that. Maybe it wasn't even as long ago as that. The WooCommerce domain, all of the content there got pushed over to woo.com, and there was a marketing push to make Woo the thing. So if you had a page from WooCommerce, it was going to be over at Woo. And then sometime during March, Google dropped what appears to be a fairly seismic update. Now, again, not being an SEO expert, not really even following the SEO news, I don't really understand what happened there, and whether it affected people more broadly, but it's affected WooCommerce. And we touched on it last week, and they've decided to move everything back to WooCommerce.com. But curious article on the developer blog this week, which I thought was, I felt a little bit sad for people who are agency owners, especially WooCommerce agency owners or developers in that they probably have spent quite a lot of time reorganizing their learning materials or what have you to reflect this change over to Woo. And now they got to do it all in reverse. They've got to un-woo, if you like. They've not got to do the woo. They've got to not do the woo.
Do you?
Yeah. of Don. I'm going to get email about that.
I think this, do you remember the conversation that we had about rebrands, Nathan?
About
It's another one for that slot. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, if they, and it, the article that was mentioned last week said that they'd hired, so they'd brought in outside talent in the SEO world, and they'd basically decided that this was unfixable by maintaining the WooCommerce domain. It was interesting. Cameron, who was in the comments, I don't know if he still is, last week he sent a screenshot on Twitter or something where he'd done a Google search and he'd noticed that about two-thirds of the amount of results were available for Woo as they were for WooCommerce. What he was meaning by that was, why don't they just wait? Wait until Google fully indexes woo.com. But I guess, you know, if you're faced with a bit of a sinking ship, then you've got to undo it. So anyway, after careful consideration, it's been undone. But this article really is just saying, what's the impact on? You know, for your clients, you'll have a, you know, you'll have a job of undoing all of that as well. It's a bit of a sad story, really. And again, the kind of the power of Google that it has over us and all that we do. Anybody want to comment apart from obviously Peter, who's dropped in there?
Just watching it, interestingly, especially from a marketing standpoint, to see what actually how it does affect everything. And I don't know. Yeah, rebranding is not easy for sure.
Yeah, especially something as big as that. You know, there's a lot of money tied up in Woo, that's for sure. And getting it wrong is hard. Right. Okay. So anyway, yeah, that is all happening. And then this came across my radar from a lovely chap called Marcus Burnett. WP World. First of all, Marcus didn't put this in the rundown. I had it in the rundown before Marcus had even said that he was going to be in the show. So first of all, tell us about the WP World. You can find it at thewp.world, which is a very cool domain, I have to say. What's the intention? Not with this article that's on the screen, but what's the intention of the project more generally?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for putting in here. I didn't know if it was in there before I jumped in to sit in the seat or not. But yeah, the WP World is basically a WordPress resource. I'm just trying to create a WordPress resource that gives value to connecting WordPress folks with each other, connecting WordPress folks with events, helping organizers and meetup planners figure out where they can best get, you know, events started. Really just sort of stems off of a lot of the stuff that I do at GoDaddy in the community space, and just finding a way to kind of give back by creating this resource for the community to, you know, find out about events, find out about each other, where each other live, so they can meet up to not home addresses, but cities, so they can meet up at coffee shops and you know, kind of encourage some in-person connections.
Do you act then, is your intention really to sort of act like a bit of a conduit, like the middleware, if you like, in the community? So I don't know, let's say, for example, I have the intention of putting on an event, that my first port of call would be, okay, there's this website, the WP World, where there's just a bunch of WordPressers there, and I can see the kind of things that they're interested in. So I might be able to use it a little bit like Michelle's WP speakers. You know, I might be able to find speakers, or alternatively, you know, I'm getting into WordPress. I know there's a community, but I don't know where any of them are in my area, that kind of thing. So you're just being the middle piece, just connecting the dots of the different arms of WordPress.
Yeah, that's the hope to some degree. I tried to use it as a way to elevate some of those other things. So like WP Speakers is integrated into the site. So if you're on WP Speakers and you're on the WP World, your WP Speaker information shows there, or some of it, and then you can click over to WP Speakers to find out more and to actually contact that person. So part of it is being kind of a conduit. Part of it is elevating the other pieces in the community that already exists. But what I really want is for somebody to say, you know, I'd like to go to a WordCamp this year. Hop on to, you know, where would you go to find that out? Well, there are you go to Central. You had to dig around a little bit to figure out what's around you. Or you could go to the WP World and put in where you are and see all of the camps that are hanging, you know, that are in your area and figure out what's closest to you and see who's going to those camps. People are able to kind of mark that they're going to those camps before attendee signups and stuff have happened at some of the camps. So really just figuring out how you can connect with other people.
I love the, essentially you've got these menu items across the top and it's divided into pressers, i.e. individuals. Then you've got events, businesses, sponsors, and then hosting, which is something altogether, which we have actually covered in the past. And then there's a shop and then there's a possibility to add me. However, I'm just going to do a random presser and let's just see who pops out in the random presser of the day. Okay, here we go. And it is Vasilis Manthos. You get yourself a WP Build sticker. Reach out. But that's really great. The idea that you can go and find a lot of people by location, by country, by the kind of things that they're into, and obviously events and all that. But this is your new thing. From directory to lightweight CRM. CRM meaning customer resource management, I guess. What's the intention here? What are you doing? What are you building?
Yeah, emphasis on the lightweight part at the moment. I don't really envision building out a full CRM. There are pieces to a CRM that I just don't think are going to be in here, like, you know, follow-up notifications and, you know, a whole bunch of personal details and stuff. What I really wanted this to be, so I'll clarify this too, because I've had a few people ask if this is like ratings and reviews for pressers. It is 100% not. These notes are completely private to the person taking the notes. They're not shared with the person who you're taking the notes on. They're not shared with the public or anything. They're private to you. But basically, like I think about a podcast episode that I was a guest on with Adam Silver. We couldn't remember how we met each other. It's been several years. And so, like, you know, what would have been great is if I had, you know, met Adam at some point and then I went in and I found his profile on the WP World and I opened up the sidebar and I typed in, you know, met at WordCamp San Diego 2022, hit save, and then I can file that away and not have to keep that in my brain somewhere to try and come back to later. So then when I'm going to, you know, meet with Adam at some other thing, I can open that up and see, okay, you know, we met at this. This isn't, you know, I have a couple of notes jotted down maybe that were important. You know, he got married a couple of years ago or whatever, and I can look at that and say, oh, you know, he got married a couple of years ago. I should check in with him and see, you know, it's your anniversary, happy anniversary, or whatever the case is. So, just kind of a way to keep some extra notes. A lot of us meet a ton of people, especially at WordCamps and other events, and to try and keep all of the information that you learn about someone in your head at all times is kind of hard, and felt like this is a good way for you to kind of jot some of that stuff down and be able to reference it later.
It's really neat. Do you have an intuition that this will be kind of like live data at any point? So in other words, do you know if I had this, I don't know, I could set my status to at WordCamp Europe or something like that, I could then, I don't know, use it whilst I'm at WordCamp Europe to make contact with people, like a messaging system or something like that. Maybe I'm pushing it a bit far.
Yeah, I so far anyways, because I'm a team of one person, have stayed away from anything that requires real heavy moderation between folks. That can very quickly and easily be abused and become a problem for people. So I have not really created anything in the site that allows you to directly contact another person through the site. All the, you know, details about their LinkedIn and Twitter and stuff that they've opted to share are there and available for you to, you know, reach out in Slack or reach out in Twitter, however you'd like to contact them. But I don't want to, I've stayed away from anything that requires me moderating lots of messages that go back and forth between people because I don't want it to be a problem.
Yeah, I can well understand. So a couple of nice things. Firstly, the comment that's come, no, not that one. Amber, sorry, Andrew, it wasn't that I didn't want to see your comment. It was just not the comment I intended. Amber Hines saying that this is neat, which is true. It is neat, but also Birgit, whether it's Birgit 1 or Birgit 2, I don't know. It's Birgit Pauli Hack. She says really great work for the community, Marcus. She's obviously saying that's great.
Awesome.
Some of the comments are not coming in, so apologies for that. I can't put them all on the screen, but I can try and read them out.
Yeah, the
Go on.
Another quick note that I sort of amended to this after it. It's at the bottom of the article and there's an update there. But if you're not keen on having someone leave notes about you, that's totally fair. If you log in and go to your settings, you can turn off the notes feature for your profile, and then folks will have to leave their notes about you somewhere else. But I wanted to make sure that if you didn't want people leaving notes about you, that you were able to turn that off.
Look at this. I think the UK is winning. The UK has 146 on its... on its Oh, no. Look, if you get the whole of the United States, not them all up. No, darn.
If you look under the pressers dropdown, there is a pressers by country.
Let's have a look. Let's see how we do. Oh, look, yeah, there you are. The United States well out ahead. 368.
I knew it would have to be Spain. There's a work camp for every weekend.
Really?
It's incredible. It's huge in Spain.
Okay.
I didn't realize until I started this project how big a community Spain has.
And bear in mind that it's there isn't a huge amount of English speakers, so I'm sure that you'd get even more people. Once the project gets better known, Spain is unbelievable.
Huh.
Really good.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. England comes in fourth place. Like they do in just about all tournaments, in fact.
just off the podium.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking in a few years' time when this has grown and grown and grown. Because honestly, that's a pretty impressive target. You've got 1,378 people who've signed up thus far.
It's not bad, but there are more people in the community.
So oh, yeah.
I'd like to see them sign up.
Getting people to come and fill out a form is hard work, right? We know that.
True.
And so that's pretty, really impressive. I can see a survey coming on, though, Marcus. It's like Kyle's survey, but slightly different. That would be fun. All right, the WP.world. That is a URL. Who knew that you could buy a .world domain? But you can. Okay. Anybody else want to contribute to that before we move on? Okay. All right. I think I'm going to leave that one because time is going to be a little bit short. So I'm going to move on to this one instead, if that's all right. And I'm going to hand it straight over to Michelle. I'll just simply say that there is an event. It's called Stella Spark Conference. Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's just a one-day online conference for all things WordPress. And what we're hoping to do with it is show people who are newer to WordPress some of the great things that it can do and that are possible and how the community pulls together. And have some deeper talks, too, that would appeal to people who have been using WordPress for quite a while. So
it's a call for speakers and it is a call for speakers. It's going to be held on the 19th of July from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. ET. And looking for a variety of presenters to choose from so that there will be something for everyone, no matter what level of expertise they have within WordPress. Yes. Okie dokie. Right. Let me just quickly sort something out over there. Sorry. I've got something which is just over there somewhat unexpectedly and kind of diverting my attention. It'll be in the show notes tomorrow. stellawp.com/stella-spark. Do you know what the uptake's been like so far? Have you had a few people interested?
We just announced it on Friday, so I haven't even checked my email yet to see if anybody has applied. We'll have a landing page soon for more information, and so people can register for the event as well. So that's forthcoming, but my first order of business was getting some really good content. So
okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Like I said, links in the show notes tomorrow. Okay, moving on. New product time. This is coming out of Gravity Forms. I got a message. I think I had a chat with, I was chatting with Matt Medeiros, who is now working with the Gravity Forms team. And he mentioned to me that they've got a new product, which has just launched. It's a plugin. It's called Gravity SMTP. And it is exactly what you'd expect it would be. It is a plugin which you can install in your WordPress website. In enabling you to send email out from that and not just use like the PHP function built into your WordPress website and using your hosting environment's, server to send out emails, which is never a good idea. and they've launched it as a V1. There's a bunch of commercial rivals and free rivals that do similar things, but I guess one of the nice things it's got built out of the box, if these are your email marketing platforms of choice, not marketing, email sending, let's say that. They've got Brevo, I don't quite know how to pronounce that, Mailgun, Postmark, SendGrid, and then you can just use good old SMTP, but it looks like more or less like a one-click solution for those platforms. The only caveat is that you need to be, in order to get this, you need to have a Gravity Forms Elite license. I don't know what the paywall on that is, but if you haven't got that license, you won't be able to download it. Let's put it that way. I'm imagining it's GPL, but you don't need Gravity Forms to make it work. If you don't have Gravity Forms on your website, you can install this and get it to work. So there you go. If you're a Gravity Forms customer, that's, and especially if you've got that elite level, you now have it for free, gratis. That's quite nice. Okay. All good. And do any of you have an iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever try to get images off your iPhone and get the rest of the universe to see them?
It is so annoying.
What the heck were Apple thinking? Like, what's wrong with a JPEG, Apple? So it turns out that, you know, just about every Android phone just saves everything automatically as a JPEG, right? And then you can suck it out of your phone and stick it anywhere, absolutely anywhere. But not an iPhone. Apple in 2017, for their own reasons, decided to use this image format called HEIC, which stands for High Efficiency Image Format. Now, they did it for all the right reasons, because it's teeny tiny. You know, the compression is utterly remarkable, apparently. Although there's probably better algorithms now. But I ran up against this problem. I genuinely didn't know that the iPhone could use this image format. And then I tried to share an image with myself from my son's phone. I have an Android phone. I don't have, I don't know what to call my phone. It's like you have to shovel coal into the back of it. But I had an iPhone, an Android phone. And then my son tried to share photos, you know, outside of like a platform which would do the conversion on the fly. So, you know, and I had nothing that could view it apart from I've come to my Mac. Oh, all's well. But I go to anything else like a Windows PC. No, you're not looking at this. And I just genuinely didn't know that was a thing. So firstly, okay, Apple, I get it, but naughty as well. And Peachy, you're obviously a bit ticked off about it. But this week, the guys at Metaslider introduced me to a plugin which would get rid of this problem. They've got an article entitled How to Use HEIC Images for WordPress. It's basically a fix. You download it and on the fly, it converts it to a JPEG. Nice. But this is quite important. So if you're like trying to put your HEIC images into a browser, more or less forget it, because only Safari has native support for it. So there you go. Salutary lesson. Anybody using an iPhone? The heck? Bin your iPhone. No, don't say that, Nathan. Don't bin your iPhones. They're lovely. In many ways, they're fabulous, I'm sure. But did you know that was a thing? Like when you took pictures, did you know that it was all done in this weirdy format that nobody else can see apart from other iPhone users natively?
I've only encountered an issue with it once or twice when I shared an image with my computer and then tried to open it in Photoshop, but most of the time it saves as a openable thing to me. I share it as a JPEG or whatever, but every once in a while.
Yeah, but if you uploaded it to like your WordPress website, for example, how do you do that? Because you do loads of photography and also you're a big contributor to the photo directory. Do you have any problems or are all of your photos coming off your decent camera, you know, your standalone actual camera?
They're not all coming off my Canon camera. Every time I travel overseas, it's just from my phone. But I would never post anything anywhere without first editing it in some sort of software.
Got it.
And so I open things in Lightroom, which is an Adobe product, to be able to really fine tune. I think a lot of photographers use Lightroom. And then if I need to take out more blemishes and things like that, I will often open it up also in post status, because that's what PS means to me. Photoshop. So you know where my head is. But I honestly have only had once or twice where I had to resend a photo to myself and then download it differently. But I don't usually run into issues.
Mark Westgard, as is always the case, has the answer. Mark Westgard says, go to iPhone, settings, camera, formats, choose most compatible. And then I'm guessing it doesn't do that. It saves it as a JPEG or something like that. Sage words, Westgard.
I wonder if I've already done that, and that's why I don't.
Maybe that's why, and it doesn't.
If I did, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but also I wonder if I've no idea. You would know more than me. I wonder if the photo directory might take care of that for you. I wonder if it does any of that kind of image manipulation on the fly. I would doubt it, but.
I don't think so.
You never know.
I was going to say, in preparation for this, I did a couple last night to just one of my media libraries, and they worked just fine. And I was like, is this a problem people are having? But I must have done exactly what Mark is proposing here at some point years and years ago, because when you upgrade, generally your settings follow you around. So I must have done this whenever it first came out. It could be when I go to upload.
I have no idea.
It's a JPEG in the media library.
Okay.
And then it turns it into a WebP for whatever other reason that I have going on. But it's already done the conversion for me, and it must be that it's saving it out based on the setting that
Mark's proposed. Okay. Yeah. Because my son's phone was just basically out of the box. You know, I mean, he's had it for a little while, but he's not one to tinker with the settings to improve or optimize the phone in any way. And I couldn't see them on anything. It was really hard to see it on anything. But now I know that if you've got a WordPress site and you want to have those high quality images with low file format size, then you can still do it according to this article and that particular plugin. But it's another problem fixed by WordPress.
I just checked and I do have mine set as most compatible, which is probably why I haven't run into issues.
I wonder if that's part of the onboarding. I wonder if part of the onboarding is to... Peach, yeah, there you go.
I will say that...
Sorry. That's okay. Go ahead. No, I just wanted to say thanks again to Mark, because I do know...
Well, he says that it will stop HEIC airdrops, even on photos taken prior to changing that setting. So what? You can no longer do airdrops at all. Airdrop. Is that the technology where it allows you to sort of stand in close proximity to somebody and just quickly...
It never worked for me anyway, not even from my computers and my phone, so I won't miss it. It's fine.
Okay. It works fine when you've turned that on. I use AirDrop all the time between my phone, my computer, and other people. Okay. So that's not an issue.
Okay. There we go.
I will say, though, that you do have to upload a JPEG into the photo directory. It will not convert photos for you. It must be a JPEG in order to be uploaded.
Do you know, just on that, right? Not apropos of nothing, certainly not this HEIC. Do you know if there's any thoughts into modern image formats like WebP and AVIF for the photo directory at any point? Because my understanding is that you can save up to 40% file size if you go with, let's say, AVIF, A-V-I-F, over JPEG. I mean, obviously, JPEG's been like the bulwark for years and years and years, but it's getting sort of left behind. I still default to JPEG all the time. My camera does JPEG, my phone does JPEG, but it would be nice to have smaller file sizes on the photo directory. So anyway,
I'm not aware of any movement in that direction. I don't know if Marcus is.
Yeah, not currently. I imagine that maybe there would be some tooling around that where, you know, it remains a JPEG in the directory, but if you're using a plugin to pull, or even Core to pull photos from the WordPress, from the directory, that maybe when it's doing that and putting it on your page, it will convert it from a JPEG to a WebP or AVIF or something. I'd imagine that there will be some tool that stands in the middle to do some optimization. I don't know that necessarily the directory itself will host multiple formats.
Jerome is in the comments. He's saying that his RAWs are 30. Okay, wow. RAW images of up to like 40 megapixels. Yeah, we are getting to the point where cameras just create ridiculous amounts of data. I think it's Dan maybe was showing me his, he's got a Samsung Galaxy 7 trillion or whatever it is. And it's got like 800 cameras on the back and all of them do a different thing. But he took a picture and I think it was like 40 to 50 megabytes on the top setting. But then when you zoom in, like you can see the tiny insect on a leaf, which is like over the horizon. It's utterly, utterly remarkable.
Which is what we all need.
Yeah, exactly. But the file size was truly huge and obviously clogging up the internet, like public facing websites. We mostly don't need anything of that magnitude, you know? So yeah. Anyway, thank you, Jerome, for sharing that. Okie dokie. I just wanted to put this in people's path. This was released this last week. It was actually 10 days ago, but I missed it last week. And it's an introduction to Playground and running WordPress in the browser. I'm just going to link to it. You can find it on the developer.wordpress.org site, link in the show notes tomorrow, but it explains the how-tos of running Playground in your browser and how it all works and how you can get yourself like a 101 of how that actual voodoo works. And then very quickly, Andrew Palmer, what the heck? Andrew sent me a link about 10 minutes before we went. He said, you've got to have this in the show. So here it is. And I could have got this wrong, Andrew, so forgive me, right? But it would appear that the latest version of WordPress 6.5 has a different way of uploading plugins. So once you've uploaded a plugin, rather than the plugin's uploaded and the page refreshes, it does an Ajax call basically to say, we've uploaded the plugin. And now that apparently might break a load of onboarding experiences for plugins, which at the page refresh would send you somewhere else. Like, you know, here's how to use our plugin page. Well, that might no longer be the case. And so this track ticket, no, it's not. It's this. Yes, it is. It's a track ticket. Came along this week saying, do we need to rethink this strategy? Andrew, I am sorry if I've completely butchered that, but he says he adores me. So, you know, I'll take it. If I've butchered that, I apologize. But that was in the brief 1 minute that I had to try and parse that, that was kind of interesting. But I can imagine if that's the case, a lot of plugin developers will be kind of a little bit up in arms. But then again, I don't know whether I want them to be up in arms. I don't know. I don't know what I think about this because I don't always want to be chucked into an onboarding experience straight away. Not sure what I think. Maybe I'll let you decide for yourselves. But anyway, I'll put that into the show notes. And Andrew says, you have to refresh the page to get to the onboarding. Yes, exactly. So I think I got that about right. You have to actually refresh the page, which nobody's going to do, right? Nobody's, when they've uploaded a plugin and it says plugin successfully uploaded, nobody's going to go and actually hit refresh on the page. So that beautiful onboarding experience that gets you your users through your plugin onboarding is going to be no more. Hat tip to this man, doom speaker that he is. It's Tim Nash. Tim Nash is on this show quite regularly and he released a video. You got to watch it. It's great. It's like a narrative version of, WordPress. There's a podcast called, what's it called? Darknet Diaries. And it's all about, you know, stories that things that have happened to people. And I think he's taken a little bit of a
but it just on. If you hit play, I expect to hear things like "Hello, darkness, my old friend."
It's so good. So it's 12 minutes of story about, you know, this how WordPress websites can be hacked. Unfortunately, I can't share the audio because the platform doesn't allow me to consume the audio. But just a bit of a hat tip. Thank you, Tim, for producing content like this and going above and beyond, really, because I know that content is quite hard and making it appealing and narrative and interesting and engaging takes lots longer. So bravo.
The next one should be a musical, though.
An unplugged version, though, to make it truly, truly gritty.
Yeah. Great. So it's called, actually, funnily enough, it's not actually showing the title. Oh, it's gone over there. Memes Gone Bad, Scary WordPress Security Story Time. And he released it 6 days ago. So give it a watch. It's definitely well worth it. And let's hope he does more in the future. That would be great. Great. Okay. Right. Let's do a little bit of promotion this time. For Peacher, what's going on? What are we looking at?
What's going on?
What's going on?
I hadn't done a masterclass or anything or any courses actually for ages. And it was about time. So I teamed up with Joe Natoli, who anybody who's ever done a design course or been interested in design probably knows Joe Natoli. I certainly learned a lot from him. And we started working together last year. So, and really, it all starts from typography, doesn't it? Because they say that 95% of the web is typography. It probably is true. And it's essential because to me, it's not just typography in the sense of content in general, is absolutely essential to the web. So we're doing this typography masterclass, which I don't think is just for designers, by the way, not at all. It's for anybody who works with content on the web. And it's not just about picking a nice typeface, not at all. We'll be looking at HTML structure and all the rest of it. And it will be opened as well, which I haven't actually put in the sales page yet, by a couple of users, one of whom, a couple of people actually, one of whom is Laza, a friend of mine who's also, who's blind from birth and has been using a screen reader since 2004.
Gosh.
And he demonstrates how he works as an accessibility tester now.
Nice.
And he will demonstrate what it's like for him to encounter a page that doesn't use correct HTML structure and so on. So there would be him. But also, the really interesting thing is that whatever may be completely accessible for Laza may be not accessible for other people with different, who are disabled in different ways. So we'll have people there as well to demonstrate that briefly, just to make people feel in like they're in the shoes, you know, the same place as someone who uses the web in a different way. Because thank you, Amber. Amber says, looks cool, Peacher. Thank you very much. And I actually got Laza to test this sales page. And if anybody notices anything that they don't think looks good in terms of accessibility, please do point it out to me, because we're always, there's no such thing as a perfect website. And I keep learning and I keep improving and I keep doing my best, really. And it's going to be, shall we tell them about the special WP build?
Oh, yeah, you had a little code for us, didn't you? Yeah, I forgot about that.
I do indeed.
Let me just find it out. I'm just going to say it on, and I'll put it into the show notes. If you go through the checkout process, Peacher just sent me a coupon code. It's WP builds 13, so WP builds 13.
Because the discount is 13%. I mean,
13%. Okay, there you go. That's great. And that's valid until Thursday, the 18th of April. Yeah. So I'll put that into the show notes. WP builds 13. It's not an affiliate thing. It's just a nice gesture on Peach's part. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. I always find those things where you watch somebody using and struggling with a website, I find them profoundly interesting. And in some cases, just heartbreaking.
Absolutely. And when actually, on another, I got Laza to test another page that I'd built that looked, to me, just looked like the structure was absolutely accessible. But I realized that even though I had done it accessibly, I still had built the page visually. So there were things that he couldn't make head or tail of just because it didn't quite work. And it's just extraordinary how it opens up your perspective on how things work for others. It's so interesting. Sorry, Nathan.
No. I'm very happy to let you have that. So the link will be in the show notes tomorrow, and you can avail yourself until Thursday of a 13% discount with code WPBuilds13, which is really nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Apropos of nothing to do with WordPress at all, but Automattic acquired this thing this week. Just if you've got that, like, I've got Slack open, I've got Discord open, I'm on Twitter, I've got Facebook open. If you want one platform to just do all the chat, just go and get this. It's so great. It's called Beeper, which I like as a name. They just took them over. They spent $50 million last year buying something called Texts. And as a result, Texts, the team behind Texts, are joining the Beeper team, which is now an automatic property. I'm, like I said, in our house, we have Android phones and iPhones, and it just works. Everything worked out the box immediately. And it's great, including platforms which you might not expect, like Signal and things like that. So really check it out. It's just brilliant. It's one place to put all of your chat experiences. So you can have one app on your phone or one app on your desktop, which handles all of those chats. And it's profoundly changed my life. That's all I can say. Beeper.com. It's totally great. And now the moment we've all been waiting for, right? Okay. So I am never, ever, ever going to be the same again, right? I discovered this website this week. I can't remember where I discovered it. It's called Suno.com. I don't care what you're doing. You know, even if you're at your own wedding, stop it and go to Suno.com and then click this little create button. You're going to have to sign up with some kind of an account, and then you'll get like the capacity to create like 20 or 30 songs for free. And those credits come back every day. So if you just, you know, if you use up your credits, just come back the next day and just do it all again. Don't know how long it'll last. But I was such a skeptic. I thought this will be more AI BS that I don't want anything to do with. Oh my God, it's so good. So good. You just type in like 15 words or something like that, and out comes a song. Like, it's so good, and it's horrifying in equal measure, right? Because I see we're quite a musical family, and I think there are people in my family who would like to have careers in this industry, in the music industry. They're up against this, and that makes it incredibly hard. It's a bit like, you know, I don't know, I've got a manual plow. I want to become a farmer. Will that work for me in the year 2024? No. Because we got tractors and things. So I think this is going to be difficult. But man alive, is this good. Now, question is, do you guys have enough time to stick around for like a few moments so that we can play a few of these? What do you think?
I do.
You do? Marcus?
This is what I came here for.
This is it. This is why we're here, right? So honestly, you type in 10 words and something comes out. So, okay, I'm going to play one. So this is the one that was in the intro to this podcast. I typed in something like, tell me in a funk song about the podcast WP Builds. It was as simple as that, right? And 20 seconds later, this came out.
Yo, check it out. So, Brian, talking about
is it the best song you've ever heard? No. But it's completely credible as a piece of background music, right? You're just immediately credible as that. Hopefully it's not too rude, but I asked it to create a song in an operatic style in which every word was the word crap. And this is what we got. Oh, it gets so much better. Here we go. I don't know what to say. I asked it to create a song about the joy of watching paint dry, and I got this.
The joy of watching paint dry. Brings a smile to my face.
And then I'm a big friend with Bob Dunn. So I asked it to create one where every word is the word Dunn, D-U-N-N. And it goes on and on. And then I asked you guys if you had a chance to create one. And Peacher asked it to create an accessible type one. Let's hear a quick excerpt of that.
Okay. And my message is book. Accessible typography that's
So you put his name in and it got... This is about your masterclass.
A promo.
Joe's a legend. Oh, I'm going to stop it there, not because I want to, but because...
Did ask for a punk song, and that's not quite my idea of punk, but...
Yeah, I'd listen to that.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the thing, right? Don't you think it's going to get to the point where rather than use Spotify to listen to songs that somebody else made up, you're just going to tell it, like, just play me loads of stuff. Just make me loads of stuff up that I've liked in the past.
Make stuff up, yeah.
Yeah, that we like. Yeah. And then I had Marcus send me one as well. I don't think I'm going to be able to play yours, Michelle, because I can't download it from the link that you sent me, but... Michelle sent me one as well.
I sent it to you in Slack too.
Oh, I didn't see that. I do apologize. And okay. Anyway, here we go. Marcus's.
We stay connected.
I mean, they're as cheesy as all hell, aren't they? But, you know, absolutely breathtakingly good. I cannot remember the last time I went to a website where I literally couldn't believe what I, in this case, was hearing. You know, mostly it's like, it's a bit hyped up and it's a bit on, you know, the expectation. But I clicked generate and a song came out and it was completely legitimately a song. And in some cases, including some really weird embellishment that I thought, God, that's quite innovative. That's not what I expected. Anyway, so I wanted your thoughts. What do you make of that? You enjoyed that this week?
It was fun. Yeah.
You can see that. Go on.
I heard about this a little while ago, and I've spent far too much time both alone and with my daughters just making up all sorts of songs.
I spent my entire Friday night, when I should have been doing things much more interesting, making songs, like just cackling to myself at how entertaining they were. And kind of in some way, assuming it was me, you know, it was like, oh, look how clever I am making all these songs. Whereas actually all I did was write a sentence and then,
you know, it'd be really nice for intro music, right? Like it takes forever to source free intro music. So if you could just create 10 seconds of, you know, some kind of musical, whatever.
Wondering though, I mean, I'm always like the spoil sport, but what about copyright though? Because obviously this is like, they've fed it all the content that real people created.
Right.
And it's all ripped off. I mean, it's the same with the images. I always come back with that, but, you know, I just can't.
No, it's
not
true.
That I go and use it. I do. I
think we're all caught in that dilemma, aren't we? Nobody wants to feel that they're ripping off an artist.
But you are.
But then at the same time, there's that just beautiful ease of it, which is so beguiling. And I think you're right. I think maybe that the ship has sailed there. Maybe we needed legislation before the AI started to suck up everything that was freely available on the internet. But I think that ship has maybe sailed. Anyway, that website is called Suno.com. And do not come blaming me next week when your productivity has gone through the floor, but you've listened to about 8,000 songs all about your cat.
We have a whole playlist on Spotify now for all of the Stellar WP songs or products that each have a song that was generated by one of our Matt Batchelder, actually. So there's a whole playlist I put out on at the Eclipse Day to get you through the eclipse through a Stellar WP way.
Well, I think what I'm going to do, because ever since I started my podcast, I've added cheesy music to the end. I'm just going to now get unique piece of cheesy music describing the podcast that's just happened.
There you go.
And stick it on the end. And in that way, I will make people hate me even more. Okay. Right. That's it. That's all I've got to say. We've run over a little bit. So I do apologize to Michelle and to Marcus and to Peacher for wasting 10 minutes of their time at the end there.
Not a waste. Well, it's a waste, but not a waste. Not a waste to be here.
It's a waste, not a waste. That's the title. It's a waste, but not a waste. Not a waste. Write that down.
And next week, join us.
Oh, I'm sure there's a song in it, Nathan.
Go on.
There's definitely a song in it.
Oh, yeah. It's a waste, but not a waste. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All right. Okay. We'll see what we can do. It'll take me all of 10 seconds to write that. It's hot hit. That's it, though. I appreciate you, the three of you, for joining me. We'll be back next week with some other guests, most of them generated by AI, probably. But for now, we've got to do the humiliating hand wave of death that I'm now going to start calling it. There we go. Smile. Hello. And thank you mostly to our audience. I really appreciate you coming in and saying hello. Groundbreaking crap, says Bud Krause.
Yes.
This is the highest endorsement I think I've ever received. This
That's
is
going
called,
on the website.
The URL is suno.com. There you go. Groundbreaking. Right, we're going to hang the call up and we will see you this time next week. Take it easy, everybody. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yo, check it out. We got a podcast on the rise. We're talking about WordPress, sipping on some chai. It's called WP Bills. We're bringing the heat. Let me break it down fast. Sit back in your seat. Listen up. This ain't your everyday show. We got developers spitting rhymes, letting it flow. Talking about codes, rest sites, and themes. WP Bills, fulfilling your dreams. W Dreams.